Lorandinha, vai à janela.
That works, Jeff. That totally works, man. That's it. All good.
That was the kid's song. That's how I put him to sleep.
What's going on in Jersey today, man?
Just waiting on some snow.
Is it snowing right now, or is it cleared up, or it's going to come?
It's cloudy, waiting.
Yeah, ours is coming in about maybe 2 or 3 hours. Ours is coming, and I think it's going to go for about 3 or 4 hours. So we'll get a few inches.
Yeah, I'll go out snow plow and make some money.
Yeah, because you're a hardscaper by trade, no?
Yeah, well, we do a little of everything, my company.
Yeah? How many years have you been doing it for?
Oh, I've been doing it all my life. I was kind of born into it.
From my old man or from the whole family?
Yeah, my dad had a company when I was already born.
Established and everything?
Established and everything.
What was it called, that company?
Mario JJ Construction.
That's how our dads and our uncles and all the old timers, they used to do it. It was, used to always be the names, right? It was just always that names. And now today's generation, it's always like trying to be cool with some sort of acronym or some sort of name that's cool. You know what I mean? Some sort of, I don't know, rock. I don't know, whatever. It's just like something
stone,
different.
Stone, hard stone. Yeah. Something. Yeah.
Harder than stone landscaping. The hardest stone ever in landscaping. They should go back to names. Right. That's what they should start doing. Go back to names, right?
They should, because of my dad put Mario JJ was me and my brother. We both had, our names are Jeffrey and Jason.
There you go. That made a lot of sense.
That was simple.
And that was usually the case. The old man was always taking the names of the kids. You know what I mean? That's what it was. And it made a lot of sense. And then you also, as clients, you would meet the old man. Then you would meet the kids. The kids would take over. And then it was a family business. And that's what got you a job, got work. It made
that's
it,
how it is.
Yeah, it made it stable, right? It made it trustworthy, right?
Yeah.
Now today, it's all over.
We worked for the same clients for 40 years.
Oh, wow. Do you prefer the winter months over the summer months?
If you can make it in the winter here, you're going to make it in the summer, of course.
You're probably having the same kind of winter that we're having, where it's pretty cold. Much a typical winter. Last winter wasn't that much snow, right?
No, we haven't had snow, a really snowy winter in a few years.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think the last one was during COVID. It was really bad.
Does it take a toll on you? I mean, I've had hardscapers on the show before, and obviously they do the snow plowing going on in the winter months because you gotta keep feeding mouths, right? So that's just the reality of it. But I mean, it's a hard job to do in the winter months because you get pulled into doing the work at the strangest hours, right? Like you gotta
24
go out.
Hours a day. You gotta be on call
all the time, right? So it's gotta take a little bit of a toll on you, no?
Of course, especially when you have a family.
Do you have kids?
Yes, one kid.
Is he planning on or is she planning on getting into the biz?
No, I'm trying not to let him take his own field.
What's he got interest in? I'm curious.
Sports, hopefully, but he's still a baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but you know, our culture, basically Europeans, you know, once they're walking, they can start working.
Yeah, well, that's what my father didn't have any childhood. I think his childhood toy was a masonry trowel.
Yeah, build something with this.
Yeah.
Don't stab anybody with it.
No. He was a mason at 12 years old.
Okay, so let me share it. So Jeff and Larry, okay, so how do you pronounce the last name?
Langeiro.
Langeiro, because we want to go Portuguese. What part of Portugal are your family from?
Fatima.
Oh, okay. He's got Heartstone Construction. You can catch him on IG under Heartstone Construction. And also he's got his own personal, which is Watch on Jeff. That's right. And you share pretty much the same things I kind of share. I think we have the same sensibility of what's going on in the world. The world is messed up today.
Yes, it is.
You think people get into construction because the world's so messed up today?
I think they have no other choice probably to get into construction.
It's a good point. But then I just did a show recently about AI and robotics. You ever going to see plows that are all machine, like AI robotic driven? We already started seeing some driveways, people with the motorized little shoveling plows, right? For the driveways.
I haven't seen that out here.
It's out there. Someone's doing it. They're testing it and figuring it out. Like, you got to think, man. I mean, it's pretty simple for a homeowner just to
put
it out.
You think there's going to be a robot behind the truck plowing?
I don't know if there's going to be a robot inside. You don't think Musk? You don't think Elon is thinking about autonomous plows?
Do something.
You don't think so? I'm pretty sure he's thinking about that. When you especially got the entire nation of Canada is for the most part covered in snow, right? And then all of a sudden, you guys, all northeast is all snow. Even the northwest. I mean, Montana gets snow. A lot of the top there, nothing in the west there. But you got to think, is it coming?
I think so. Something's coming.
What kind of projects do you work on when it comes to the hardscaping stuff? I know you do a bunch of everything.
We're building 65 units right now for myself and my investors. And then I work on a golf course as a shop steward.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maintaining everything?
No, just installing a new irrigation system for it.
How's that work when you got a, like, I mean, I guess the players are very sensitive about when you do the work, you got to disappear that you did the work. It's got to be seamless.
They shut down the golf course during the winter months.
Oh, so you guys do it during the winter months?
Yeah.
But how do you do that when you've got to get water pumping below zero?
Oh, dude, we're just installing the pipe right now. And then after the weather breaks, we run run water through the pipe to see if anything's leaking.
Do you pressurize it in the wintertime just to check it?
No, not yet. We're going to do that soon when the weather breaks. So we're just crossing our fingers. Hopefully there's no leaks.
I guess you'll find out right away when someone comes along, you'll see the turf and it's just going to be all saturated. Then you know there's going to be a leak.
Yeah. We do pipe fusion. It's mostly fusion pipe.
The joints are all fusion pipes, so then they're basically, what are they, just heated up and then cauterized together?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's no risk of leaks then?
No. It's pretty simple.
What? I'm just curious, like, how many linear feet of pipe are we talking about for an average golf course of 18 holes?
Oof.
Tens of thousands?
Thousands. I don't even have a number on that.
Is it coil? It's all coil. It's got to be coil.
It's coiled, yeah. But the 8-inch is all 20-foot lengths.
8-inch diameter?
Yeah.
You're running 8-inch diameter pipe, and then it's branched.
For the main line.
For the main line. And then you're branching off with what, 1 inches?
3-inch.
3-inch. And then it gets tapered down to the actual fitting, the final? Yeah,
then 2-inch for the heads.
That's a lot.
That comes in coil.
That's a lot of water, man.
Yeah, this place gets arrogant. It's all controlled off an iPad.
And you guys handle everything?
We handle everything.
Do you have to treat it as a balanced loop system?
Yeah.
Because you got to maintain the pressure.
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. Eh? So what do you guys start at, like hole number one and go all the way to 18 and then come back to the same?
Yes.
I'm fascinated by this. And how deep do you guys go?
3 feet, 3.5 feet usually on the main line, and then 2 feet on the other lines.
And then what happens if something goes wrong and you got to dig? You got to, I guess you find out by...
Hand dig it.
Hand dig it, and then find it, fix it, and then dig it back, and then regrow the grass and regrow whatever's there.
And that's a big part of it, try not to ruin the grass.
Yeah, because I'm not a golfer. You a golfer?
I golf sometimes. I'm not good at it, but I golf.
I'm not a golfer. I understand golf and I get the purpose behind golf, but I'm not a golfer. I find it too boring. It's just too much for. I drink more than I would. I've gone a couple of times, but I'll drink more than I golf. I end up at the bar.
That's the point.
Yeah, I know. But I end up at the bar because I get tired of walking around on the green, right?
That would be the spot.
So everything is all brought right back to what, a manifold or several manifolds, I guess, I'm assuming?
A pump house.
A pump house. How big's the house?
Pretty freaking big, man.
Yeah, if you're dealing with 8-inch pipe that goes down to 3 and then it terminates at 2.
These huge electrical motors that power everything.
Wow. And then do you guys ever get into any of the hardscaping on top of that, or is just focus on that?
Just focus on the irrigation. And then we have another company that just takes care of the greens of the bunkers and designing the bunkers. A lot of it goes into building golf courses.
For ease of use, I guess you want to make it as easy and useful for the actual golfer, right? To get in and out kind of, and then have something to look at kind of idea other than trees. Design-wise, yeah. I'm thinking bunkhouse, pool house, all these little stops, beverages, sandwiches, little chill-out patios, things like that, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a golfer, man. I'm just not a golfer. But there's lots of people that are golfers.
Yeah, it's a big industry.
What else is interesting in the golf course that you've seen?
My golf course is nothing much. This is my first golf course that I've done.
So you're learning as you're going?
I'm learning as I'm going there.
All right, so you got to give me some lawn tips. Some like what should we do and what most people doing that is killing lawns or whatever. I don't know. What's the go-to tips?
Fertilizer.
Yep.
Fertilizer, weed killer. You got to water it. Definitely water it.
At what time? Like when's the best time?
Nighttime watering is the best.
That's it. Don't bother doing it during the day.
Well, you could during the day you can put it for a little bit, but the nighttime I learned as I go, and nighttime is better.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And then lots of fertilizer, and then weed killer if it's there.
Yeah.
What else? Maintain like cutting it as often as what?
Yeah, cutting it twice a week, three times a week. Well, the golf course does it every day.
They cut their grass every day.
Every day, every day.
There's a yard,
especially down on the green. They cut it every day. I've noticed.
Wow, because they got to maintain it.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. It's like having a haircut style and it's always looking the exact same, right?
They bring in these fine machines to cut down right where the green is.
Yeah.
Make it nice and flat.
What if they cut a little too far and they leave a burn, they go a little too...
This thing it's got a measuring wheel on it.
This is serious, man.
Yeah, it's pretty technical.
And then is it a guy that's driving this thing? It's a ride along, yeah. Or it's a ride along?
Ride along lawnmower.
Even for the green, for the really short stuff.
Yep.
Wow. And that's his job 24/7. That's what he does. His job
24/7.
One guy or is it a team?
It's a team of guys.
What kinds of so off mic? I think just before we get started, you were talking about how you worked on down by the World Trade Center back in the day.
Yeah, I was there doing, rebuilding the work down by the World Trade Center on the West Side Highway.
Yep.
We did pedestrian crosswalk on Thames Park.
Okay.
That was a good project I was on.
How long were you there for?
2 years.
I would say, what do you guys, when you come in, so you're coming in from Jersey, you're going into there, where are you guys parking? Give me a little rundown on how it all works, because New York City, as we know, is just congested, right?
Oh, it's nuts.
So, where are you allowed to park? Or are you taking the train?
You catch a ticket anywhere. So, we're, as our construction company, we would be parking our vehicles, right on the site itself.
Okay.
But I've caught in tickets in my personal car. I've driven in and caught in tickets.
Does it make more sense?
I've gotten a boot put on my car.
They don't do the boot up here in Canada.
I've got the boot.
They tow it. They just tow it. They take it away and then you got to pay for it.
Well, over here, they give you a 3-hour grace period before they tow your car to the Brooklyn Navy Yard.
With the boot on?
With the boot on. It's a whole racket.
So hang on a sec. So you get what? A ticket first. At the same time, you're putting a boot on and then
a
you
ticket,
got
ticket, yeah. A big sticker on your window.
Okay.
And then you only have a certain amount of time to make it from wherever you are. From, let's say you were down by the World Trade Center. You got to catch an Uber to the Brooklyn Navy Yard. Pay your ticket, which is outrageous, $400, whatever.
For parking in any kind of place that's not allowed parking.
Yeah. They set you up for failure. If you don't know, you got to be they set you up for failure. There's no signs that tell you.
When it comes to spray foam and blown-in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Fomit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Fomit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Fomit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Fomit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Fomit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@fomit.ca or visit them at www.fomit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Wow, that's pretty harsh, man.
Yeah, it's a whole mafia thing, bro. They set you up. You got to drive to Brooklyn Navy Yard, pay your
ticket.
Your ticket to get the boot off. By the time you catch an Uber back, the boot's already off the car. And then you're ready to go.
And then if you don't make any of that, they tow it and then get it to the yard. And you're paying how much now?
You're probably in the thousands.
Thousands.
Thousands, yeah. And people leave their cars there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So then most people would just leave their car there, but then isn't there a daily charge, surcharge fee every single day that you left there?
It's insane, yeah. If your car's not worth it, you might as well leave it there.
And then what's the city do with all the cars that are, if it's
they
a beater?
They auction them off.
They auction them off. The
same question. I was like, what do you do when somebody can't pay? They auction off the cars after 60 days.
60 days?
Yeah. Because it would be an insane amount of cars just left there.
This is a racket, man. Like, yeah, this is just pure money.
I sat there for hours and just watched people crying and screaming. They have a cop with bulletproof glass there. It's insane.
Holy cow. How many cars are we talking about? There's like, what, hundreds of cars every single day or thousands of cars?
Bro, they've got to tow of hundreds of cars every day. I mean, just picture how many people come to Manhattan.
So here's the question, Jeff, though. How many luxurious cars are in that?
I've seen a lot.
Really? I thought they were just
being given passes. I was in the Navy Yard. I've seen a lot of them. They say they auction them off. That's a whole racket in itself.
Wow. And all because someone wanted to just park illegally and left it there for a little while and then...
Well, it's not like you're parking illegally. Sometimes you don't know how those signs work, you know? You got to walk probably a block or two before you see a sign where you can't park, you know? They do this specifically for people to make money.
Yeah, they're making a shitload of money at that point.
A ton of money. A ton of money. And then if you don't have money to take your car out, you're beat.
Okay, so back to the job site. So then now it makes sense for you to park on the job site. Doing a public project, can the parking authority still tag you because you're parking on public property?
They tag anybody. They would give us tickets. Yeah, sometimes I would just, my job would sometimes would be just to sit in the truck so I wouldn't catch a ticket.
So if you're sitting in your vehicle, they can't tag you?
Well, I see them coming, you know.
Then you can move. Like,
yeah, I'll move.
The ticket has to touch our vehicle for it to be valid. So you can be in the vehicle and you can be waiting, and then all of a sudden you can have someone come along and start writing up a ticket, and then all of a sudden you can still take off as long as they don't touch the vehicle, then it's not valid anymore, right? Yeah. So I've done that before. I've seen the guy, I raced to my car, I got in there, but this was back in the day when they were handwriting the tickets. Now they're all computerized.
Oh,
I know, they go super fast now. It's like seconds to get a ticket.
I don't think they even get out of their vehicles anymore. They just they scan your plate and print it out.
I know, but back to construction, you got to start asking, hang on one second, like you gotta,
they add that building cost into their building.
I know, but we're
the project.
How much of a factor?
Hold on,
what's going on?
My son's calling me.
Okay, go, take it.
Hold on, one
yeah,
second.
Yeah, take it.
What do you mean?
All right, now we're back. Okay, so we were just talking about, even though your vehicles are on a public construction site, they'll come in and still tag you, even though that's a construction site under construction.
Yeah.
They're allowed to tag you?
They, they'll take everything. They'll tag, so you have to have a cop out there. If you have any construction going on, you have to hire a cop to be outside.
For
even
what
if your
purpose?
Vehicle is double parked, even if you're unloading a vehicle, anything. And that alone is thousands of dollars to hire a cop in New York City.
So the cop out there on your job site is for what purpose? To navigate machinery and vehicle or traffic coming in and out?
Traffic control.
That's all it is, just traffic control.
That's it.
What are they getting paid by the hour these days?
Oof, I heard $80, $90 an hour.
And it's about, I bet you any money, it's a minimum, right? So many hours?
That's, right away off the bat, it's a $90 an hour job for a cop.
Okay, so Jeff, if you got a, let's just say, $100,000 project in New York City, how much of that $100,000 is going to nothing to do with construction? It's going to cop, tickets.
20,000.
20% of that job is going towards facilitating the opportunity to do that job.
Well, yes. For example, I was doing a job in Jersey City, which is on the other side of the river.
Yeah.
I was building five brownstone houses, and there was a whole cop racket, right? This is in the news. This is public knowledge. So there was, they were robbing construction contractors.
What do you mean robbing? Like, personally?
Insisting that we would have to hire them to unload a truck of sheetrock. We would have to pay them thousands of dollars.
And this made the news because there was all, it was a scam that was going on between the police force.
So one day I decided, fuck them, I'm not paying them.
And? You get arrested?
I said, I'm not paying them. I've had enough. I got locked up.
You get arrested?
I got arrested.
What was the charge?
They charged me with assaulting an officer.
Did you assault an officer?
No, I snatched some paperwork out of his hand and he said I assaulted
him. Oh, so that basically you're using a technicality that you touched him, but kind of thing.
Yeah, but I'd never touch him. I just snatched the paperwork out of his hand before. my employees were all Spanish people at the time and they all scattered. I didn't see not one employee around.
Jeff,
I'm on the floor.
please tell me that when you got arrested and you got in and they were going to photograph your shot, your mug shot, that you were at least wearing a hard hat.
No.
Because that would make for a classic mug shot. You know what I mean?
No hard hat.
No,
my shirt was all ripped up. I would, because I put up a fight. I wasn't letting him take me down like that, you know?
And then what happened? So they got busted later on? They got found out?
This shit ended up, I had to end up going to anger management because of this.
So you're the one that's wrong in this situation of the cops shaking down the construction worker?
This is that time when the racket was going on.
Holy cow.
It was in its early stages. If you Google the racket of Jersey City with traffic cops, it'll come up.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just jotting it down because I want to look it up, man.
Yeah, look it up. There was a lot of indictments came down for cops and councilmen.
Really?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're being sent to anger management.
Oh, meanwhile, I'm getting locked up, booked, and my poor ex-wife had to come bail me out.
And did the cops, did anybody go to jail? Did anybody lose their job? Or was it like what happened to the cops?
Oh, bro, I don't know. This guy was like 6 foot something when he did this to me. And then I'm trying to explain to them how am I going to assault a 6 foot something cop? I'm shorter than him. I'm 5'9", 5'10".
You're a construction worker. You got tools that are being used as weapons. That's what they're probably arguing, I'm saying.
No. Well, they were asking my Spanish employees. My Spanish employees just left. Left the cement, left the truck.
They just gone. Everything gone.
I looked over, everybody's gone.
Did you see any of them running? Or they were just gone?
Yeah, definitely all of them.
You know what would have been funny, Jeff? If you started that altercation with the cop and all of a sudden a biker came by and then another, you know, native Indian came by and all of a sudden someone had a ghetto blaster and started playing some YMCA, man. That would have been fucking funny.
That would have been funny. That would have been the moment. But you know what's even funnier? You know, it was a ticket. One of those cops in those stupid little, the little buggy cars.
I know that you could tip over. I know.
Yes, it was one of them.
That's who you were fighting?
Yes.
And that 6 foot guy fits in that thing?
That's what I told him. How does your gorilla ass fit in there?
What, does he have a bubble on the top that he looks, puts his head out?
I don't know. He took that offensively to me. He put the handcuffs on me so hard that I literally fell to my knees.
So do traffic cops in New York have the same powers as regular cops?
I think so, yeah.
Wow, this is a serious business, man. So 20%. So any construction going on in that city, and the same thing happens in Jersey?
Jersey, yeah. Now it is. Well, now it has more of a control since that whole incident with the racket with the cops and the traffic and the construction. Now it's like controlled.
So how do they expect anybody to get any construction done?
You take that into cost that. Yeah, it's got to be at least 20%.
You just bill it to the client.
15%, because anything, you get any truck unloaded, if you have any movement on the sidewalks, you need a cop.
If you're blocking sidewalks,
anything. You're doing the front steps on limestone, you need a cop in Jersey City.
We normally reroute the sidewalk. Whenever there's a building going on,
you need a cop there.
We only need cops here when you're actually moving machinery in and out. You don't need a cop all the time there.
Well, over here, they insist that.
And then you wonder why construction is so expensive, because a lot of it don't go to the construction. A lot of it goes to this kind of crap.
Yeah.
Now, is this who started all this? Like, when did it all start this way?
Around the 2000s, 2001, 2002.
Oh, this is recent, man.
Yeah, it was recent.
What's the union say? Like, does a union get involved? And like, why are you attacking our guys? Why are you, harassing our guys?
This union has have to hire state police for most of our construction.
To protect you guys?
Yeah.
From the local police? Let's
say we're doing traffic control. Anything to do with traffic has to have a cop.
Wow.
Anything to do with traffic control, TCC. We call it TCC here. Anything with that, we have to have a state police or a cop with us.
How's the union these days, man?
It's good. It pays the bills.
Yeah. No, it's good. Right?
Union's a great thing here.
And how many years you been in there?
15.
15? Was your dad union guy as well?
No, my dad was not. I ended up in the union after the housing crisis here in 08.
In 08, 09, yeah.
Yeah, I had lost everything in the housing industry, and I had an opening. A friend of mine put me in the union.
Was it a process to get into the union, or were they open arms and ready to take you in?
No, it was a process.
Yeah.
Over here, it's a racket also.
You got to jump hoops to get in there just to get...
You got to kiss pinky rings to get in here.
Oh, wow, man. This is like... So basically, all the stereotypes that we've ever heard of, they're all still there. Everything's still...
They're there, 100%.
What's
just
gonna...
not as out there, you know, and not in the public, but yes.
No, they keep it quiet because they don't want stuff like that to come out, right? They don't want the public to know that that's how it is running, right?
Yeah, you have to now to get into the union, either know somebody or go to an apprenticeship. And you tell me you want to start an apprenticeship at 30 years old?
Doesn't make much sense when you already have a lot of the skills more than the people that are much younger than you that are getting in there, right?
Exactly.
Is that across the whole country in the U.S.? Is that it's just designed the same way?
I don't know if it's like that, but I know New Jersey's, they make you jump through hoops.
Boston, all the newer, I guess Philadelphia, all the northeast side, right?
Yeah.
Attention subcontractors and skilled trades. Are you looking for your next big opportunity? 2x2 Construction is expanding and is on the hunt to grow our top-tier network of professionals. Whether you're a carpenter, plumber, or roofer, etc., if you can deliver top-quality craftsmanship, offer competitive pricing, and your communication is where we shine, we want to hear from you. At 2x2 Construction, we value strong partnerships. From multiplexes to garden suites, we're all about building better together, and we want you to be a part of it. Reach out today at info@2x2construction.ca or connect with us on Instagram at 2x2construction. Join the 2x2 Construction team where great work meets great people. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. So what happened ultimately about the you being arrested? Was that just thrown out or did you have to do some community service?
I had
service?
To complete the anger management and then it got thrown out. And plus, my father had a few connections and got me off. My father was kind of in the redevelopment in Jersey City of rebuilding downtown Jersey City, and he got me off, his friends.
I'm wondering about what were they trying to teach you in anger management? Like, what would you be doing?
I think I went to one class, and I ended up paying off the professor, and I never showed up again. Oh, and I got community service, and I paid a guy off. I showed up once. I paid him off.
What's the community service? You're just picking up trash or something?
They went and picked up trash throughout Jersey City and cleaned up the manhole covers, the storm drain covers with the leaves and everything. I said, you got to be kidding me. And I pulled the guy aside and asked him how much. He told me, he gave me a number. It was like $500. I gave him the $500 the next day, and then he put me down for I would have to show up and sign in, and then I would leave.
But at least you did it. You did
I completed.
You completed it. A version of it. That's what you did. So you still paid.
I showed up, signed my name, and then disappeared through the... Actually, I would go out to breakfast with the dude. I became friends with him. I went out to breakfast with him. And, it would be a routine every Saturday. I would have to go check in and then sign the paper, go out to breakfast with him.
But then this still goes on. So you get on job sites, you do the work, and the cops are there, and then they start shaking you down, basically. It still goes on today?
Yeah. I'm sure it goes on. I haven't hired a cop in a while, but...
Because you've been staying out of it, right? You've been staying out of that neck of the woods.
Yeah, I don't really be building a lot in Jersey City lately.
Where are you focusing these days? When it comes to the spring and the summer, where are you going to start focusing mostly on?
Northern Jersey, right by me, by Watchung area.
Okay.
We go all over New Jersey and New York.
Is it hard to find workers for you?
Definitely.
Why? They're just not there or nobody wants to do it?
Well, the old school Portuguese guys don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's a dying breed. Yeah. You know, they're slowly getting phased out, and the Spanish guys are coming in, you know? But, you know, non-union is a different story than union, you know?
What are the rules when it comes to the union, non-union? Do they allow you to do projects, so many projects per year?
Well, non-union, I do a lot of projects with my company.
Okay. So you're allowed to still operate another business.
Yeah, I have my own company. I have about 10 employees. They're all, you know, they've been with my family for years, 20 years.
Just to like a different group of people? It's just a bunch of, any Portuguese, any European, or is it mostly Spanish?
No, we don't have any Portuguese people. We used to.
So where they all go?
We used to only have Portuguese.
Where they all go now? What are they doing?
The Portuguese? They either went to the unions and they retired and got pensions and went back to the motherland. But now it's mostly I have Salvadorians.
Really?
Yeah, mostly ex-MS-13 members that came to work for us 20 years ago.
I thought it wasn't allowed to be an ex-MS-13.
Well, these guys are, they're back in the day, they were, that's why they fled their country. And wow, we took care of them. Good people, man.
And they're good workers? They do good jobs?
Good jobs, man. They're hard workers. Loyal. They're loyal.
It's kind of sad to see people that we grew up with in the industry working, and then we don't have that representation anymore in the industry, right? Like, it's completely changed now, the industry, where the typical worker, the typical construction worker has completely changed in the last, what, 30, 40 years?
Yes.
It's just kind of weird to see it that way, because I grew up that with my, you know, my dad was a bricklayer, and then all of his friends were all bricklayers, and then...
Yeah, I remember all my dad's Portuguese guys were all Portuguese, masons, laborers, you know? That all phased out.
It's a good and bad thing. I would still like to see a representation of it.
You know, a lot. Yeah, of course. And the union's mostly Portuguese, let me tell you. 90% of our union's all Portuguese.
But in the next 10, 15 years, what are they going to look like? In when they all retire and they're out of the union, like 10, 15 years out of here.
How's our union going to look like?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it's going to be a mix, a different mix. Yeah.
Does the union ever talk about the future? Talk about what construction is going to be like 50 years from now?
Not really. They make us take a lot of classes, get certified in a lot of things now.
Yeah, which makes sense because a lot of new hazmat, techniques.
I concentrate a lot in hazmat.
Yeah?
Yeah. I do a lot of environmental cleanup. I actually worked for the second largest company in the United States for hazmat cleanup.
Because there's a lot of materials out there, man.
A lot of New Jersey is contaminated.
The difference between you guys and us is that we just destroy the building and then build a new one. You guys maintain the building, which means that you discover a lot of material that is hazardous and you have to discard that material, right? That's the thing. Yeah. Where do you guys send it off to?
To Ohio, to an incinerator.
And they burn it?
They burn it.
Do they use the heat from the burning as energy or are they just burning it?
I've never asked that question, but I know it goes to an incinerator.
It's pretty interesting that hazardous material from New York State is actually going to Ohio State and then getting burned. Why not just set up a burning facility there? No room, I guess.
No room or the cost of building a facility like that. They put it on rail cars and ship it out.
Do you like, I'm just curious, Jeff, because I know that you get to see the skyline of New York City and realistically, New York City, that skyline has dramatically changed in the last quarter century. It's insane the way, it's just crazy how many buildings are going up, but also how many buildings are going up specifically designed for ultra wealthy people or offshore money, you know?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of these people are just, laundering money through these buildings.
Yeah, they're laundering buildings. That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
They're completely.
You're talking about $15 million apartments.
And it's just sitting there vacant. Nobody's in there.
Nobody. That's what they say.
Well, we know what's kind of going on. They're using banks and they're getting loans against those places and then they're cleaning the money. That's all is basically happening. But it's weird to see it how that whole perimeter around Central Park is just ultra wealthy.
It's insanely wealthy.
Yeah. And then everyone's just getting pushed out, right?
That's right.
But you and other workers have to still come in to work on it and maintain it. That's what I don't understand. It's like you got to still make it accessible for people to get in there because these buildings are not designed to last forever. I don't think they're going to last as long as all the brownstones and all the smaller buildings that were built at the turn of the century, right?
No, they have to maintain them.
A lot of steel, a lot of glass, man. A lot of interesting things.
A lot of steel, a lot of glass. A big industry in that. Iron workers union.
Yeah.
You have the glass unions. There's a lot of unions out here.
It's a good and a bad thing, I think, because it actually starts to expand the workforce. You can, and then you guys, union, I respect for doing a lot of the training. The training is important because they start educating a lot of people where you wouldn't be able to get that knowledge other than going to the union. I respect that. But then you'd also don't, I'm assuming you guys don't get as many people getting into construction because they don't want to be construction workers. They don't want to get their hands dirty, or do they?
No, I don't think this new generation wants to get their hands dirty.
Do you see all this Gen Z looking at construction as an option to get in there, or are they too hyper focused on being influencers?
Influencers.
But you can be a construction influencer.
You can, just like you.
Yeah, kind of. But I mean, I look at it differently. I just do it as a representation of the industry. I don't do it as a representation of me, right? I'm just sharing what, like when I talk to someone like you, I talk to a lot of people and I just share what I educate myself with from speaking to that person. That's how I look at it. I find a lot of the influencers out there, it's all about them.
I apologize. I'm getting another call.
No, that's fine. Don't worry. It's all good, man.
I'm going to let that one go to voicemail.
If you want to take it, man.
No, it's nothing important.
We catch you on a bad time. It's a Saturday morning. You supposed to be at work? No, not yet until the snow starts going
today,
down.
Not today, but everybody calls me on Saturday. They run through to talk business.
The next week, what happens?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You remember what button you hit?
No. I definitely not. I'm not a computer savvy like that.
Neither am I, man. That's why he's over there. No, I'm not. I'm not
computer savvy. It takes me twice as long to realize what I'm doing.
Jeff, let me ask you, what are your plans on getting out of the construction industry? Have you been thinking about it?
I think I'm going to retire and Dominican Republic with a nice house, collect rent, collect a pension, go to Portugal, enjoy my houses there.
Portugal's pretty bad these days, eh?
What do you mean pretty bad as what?
Migrants.
Making a living.
Surviving, being Portuguese.
I don't know how people do it.
It's bad. I'm hearing it's bad.
I don't understand how they can live with 1,000 euros a month.
You think
you guys get paid by the month?
By the month? No. In custom resi, we get paid by the week or whatever, and then we get screwed over by the end of the job. That's construction, no? Isn't that how it is? In the back of your head, you're always thinking, okay, am I going to get shafted this week or next week? Is it the last week or not?
When's the ball going to drop? Yeah.
When's it going to drop, right? Like, and they'll be showing you that pleasant face. They'll bring coffee. They'll bring muffins. They'll bring donuts.
Oh, crap. But in the back of their minds,
when am I
going to screw this guy?
That's construction. I want kids to understand that people, clients, they're the best actors out there, man. They are.
I love that.
The problem is with construction workers, we're not. Our hatred is seen in our face. It's almost written.
I wear my heart on my sleeve.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Exactly. So then
I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm honest with everybody.
You want to screw us over? You're going to see my reaction to you, man. It's on my face.
Yeah.
All you got to do is just.
That's the world we live in, right?
The best part is just don't try to get into that situation. Try to get, like we were talking off mic before we got started, try to have as minimum amount of losses as possible.
Yeah.
Don't get into any high figures, right?
Well, that's what I was avoiding. I actually was bidding a job out this week, and I realized I have to go 60 days without getting paid. And I'm like, I'm not doing that.
It's dangerous.
Insanely dangerous. It could put you in the hole. 60 days without getting paid, and then they come up with an excuse not to pay you.
That's their contract? That was their...
Yeah, 60 days, no payment.
And you had to agree to it regardless?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't get the job.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm not that big to be floating a couple $100,000 worth of... labor and material.
Why were they asking you to go so long? Normally it's 30, no?
Yeah, well, it was 30. It is 30, but then the first payment would be 60 days after that.
And then what? 30 days after that, 60 days?
Then 30 days after that.
So what was the reasoning behind the huge... I don't understand that part.
to get the job started. Once I heard that, I just backed out.
That's the time that you need the most amount of money to get the job started. Otherwise, you're floating it, right?
Of course.
Did you ever hear about that job later on? Whoever took it over, and if they got maybe shafted?
Oh no, it's still in the
process. Oh, in the tendering, huh?
Yeah, I said I talked to everybody on my team. I said I'm not doing this job, and we would make good money there. I'm just not putting myself in the. I just climbed out of a hole. It took me 10 years to climb out of.
Yeah, and you don't want to jump back in, man.
No, I'm not jumping back in.
Attention homeowners and businesses. Are you looking for top-notch electrical contracting services you can trust? Consider the expert tradesperson behind Effect Electric LTD. They take pride in delivering quality, service, and professional installation on time and on budget. From Kohler generators to main service upgrades or network data installation, they do it all. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Carlo and his team at Effect Electric LTD are your go-to professionals for all your electrical and generator needs. Effect Electric LTD is an authorized Kohler home energy generator dealer. Kohler has air-cooled 26 RCA units, the quietest, the most powerful, and exceptionally durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Custom color options, camouflage options, and every generator Kohler makes is built to last and is equipped with a commercial-grade engine. Call Effect Electric LTD today at 416-508-7725 or visit them at effectelectricltd.kohlergeneratordealer.com. Let's build something great together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Your dad's still around?
He's still around.
Is he swinging the hammer, or is he just swinging the advice?
He swings the advice.
Yeah, that's what I figure, as he should be, right?
Yeah, I told him relax, step back, and let us do it. My brother handles the renovations. I handle the new construction.
But, you know, old-timer Portuguese guys are usually stubborn in their ways. They still want to, even though the body's not there, the mind's still there.
Well, if he comes on the job site, tell him to go hang out in the office. Next thing I know, he's in the forklift or up on the scaffolds yelling at somebody, 70 years old.
But that's how he's teaching. That's all. He's educating.
Yeah. I've never seen another race to yell and scream at so many people like a Portuguese mason.
Is it worse if he's screaming to another Portuguese, or is it worse if he's screaming to somebody else, another culture?
No, the funniest is when he's screaming, they have no clue what he's saying.
They don't understand a word. Well, because is it all broken English Portuguese? Is it just a mix? Yeah, it's a mix of two. That's why, right? But the Spanish guys must know a word or two. They must kind of
understand his Portuguese.
Yeah, they piece it together.
Yeah.
Bottom line is he's not happy with what you're doing. That's why he's yelling. So as simple as that. Figure out why, and then fix it.
Definitely.
That's funny. Basically, that's how it works. But that's how he's supposed to be doing that shit.
Yeah, of course. He keeps them in line. I show up with him. Everybody's working. It's just like they know when he's on there that not to slack off.
What's he think of today's construction worker?
He hates it.
Every single one? He can't stand their attitude?
He says that this is a weak bunch of boys, construction guys now.
Too
not
slow,
like the old timers.
Too slow, not hardworking.
Too slow, not hardworking. Don't take pride in their work.
Always on the phone.
Oh, he makes them leave. That's a rule. We leave our phones in the car.
You can't be checking social media. You can't be texting the girl from last night. You can't be doing any of that shit. No.
No, because then it's just my dad doesn't even allow radios on the job.
Well, because he's yelling, he doesn't need it, man.
Yeah,
everyone can hear him. Everyone can hear him, but they don't necessarily understand him, but they can hear him.
he's a different kind of breed. They don't make people like that no more. Definitely not.
Jeff,
I don't know how it is up there.
No, it's the same way, man. It's exactly the same way. You get old school Portuguese, old school Italians, even the old school Croatian guys. They're all like that. Everything's always the same, right? They just have that mindset and they have the same problems. They're thinking that this generation that's coming in is weaker, slower. They have the same, everything's all the same, right? But they're inheriting the construction industry, right? So they're going to have a lot of say in what this is going to look like 50 years from now, right?
That's it. That's true. As long as, you know what, he taught me, take pride in all the work that you do.
No matter what you do. Yeah, no matter what it is. If you're just spiking a 2x4 or something, whatever.
Take pride in it.
Yeah, hammer it a certain way that it goes in efficiently and then you're not splitting the whole head and mushrooming it or whatever. Like, just take pride in every single little thing you do. The way you put your tool belt on, the way you swing a hammer, the way you wear your hard hat. All, just take pride, man. Simple as that.
That's it.
But too many people.
Life. That's life rules. Take pride in what you do. Lead by example, man.
How was your first day on a construction site? Was it intimidating?
So I grew up in the industry.
Yeah, but you still had a first day, so you still showed up. How was
my
that?
My first day, what? The union was a 95-pound jackhammer on a breakout crew.
That was your first day?
That was my first day. Oh. I wanted to kill myself.
Holy, for the whole day?
It was like 15 hours on the side of the turnpike with tractor trailers zooming by you and you're just jackhammering. And you're just be like, God, please don't let one of these tractor trailers take me out.
Where were the cops there? No cops there for traffic?
Yeah, they were there. They're behind the crash truck or somewhere, you know?
Takes one guy not paying attention, man. Just one guy
to wipe out all of us.
That's it.
That's insane.
That's how dangerous.
I did that for a few years. Well, it was like, I had to do it. I was no choice. I did it. I tried to get out of it. So I started going to classes so I could get my traffic control license or at least be in the crash truck, you know, instead of behind of a 95-pound jackhammer.
It's kind of scary because you're using a piece of machinery that could hurt you. And then in the back of your head, you're thinking, I have to still be aware of my surroundings, right? I got to totally be aware of my surroundings that I pay attention just in case if something is about to happen, right?
Of course. You're playing with death right there on the side of the turnpike.
You ever work on a project and then come across something interesting and how it was built or how it wasn't built properly? As you're dismantling and putting it together or repairing it?
I worked on the airport, Terminal C, the new airport. And? I've seen two guys fall off the bridge deck and their lanyards weren't according to size. One guy fell, he pulled the other guy with him. That was my first day on the airport job.
And so he pulls him and they both go down?
One guy fell, he grabs his buddy. And they both come down together. The lanyards weren't at their proper size, and they both hit the ground and broke their legs. That was my first day on the Newark airport job.
And you saw this unfold right in front of you?
Yes, right in front of me. I said, oh, shit. Yeah, I actually, unfortunately, I've seen some crazy stuff.
It's going to happen. It's a very dangerous job.
You know. I've seen somebody lose their lives at American Dream Mall also.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it happens. We're in the dangerous industry.
What was it that happened there at the mall? They just weren't tied off properly or the safety?
No, he was in a buggy, you know, one of those Bobcat buggies.
Yeah.
Wasn't paying attention. Hit the back of a flatbed truck, decapitated him.
Wow. You're operating machinery and you're not the only one. There's other ones around you and then there's moving parts and then lots of other workers. And then if you...
You know, the first thing they tell you, you got to have your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
That's most important.
Constantly looking. And you can't be distracted by everyday things,
right? Instagram or phone.
Any of that shit. It can't be. That's just going
to
be...
I'm sorry. Another call.
No. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. Nothing happens to the screen. Everything stays fine. I know that you just see it and that's it, but it's all good. If you got to answer, you got to answer it.
No, I'm not answering it. Don't worry.
What else you want to share with me, man?
I mean, you tell me. I've been...
There, we lost you again. We're on a vertical.
I got you. I've been on American Dream Mall. I was on a lot of cool projects here.
Hang on one sec. We'll just size you up again.
There you go.
Cool. Do a lot of union guys ever want to go non-union and go the custom resi route, or they like the bigger structure projects? Is that what?
Well, it's not that. It's the money. The money in the union is a whole nother level. Our vacation checks, or pension, or insurance, or annuity. You know, you put in 20 years here, you're going to get a nice payout.
Yeah.
You get full lifetime insurance.
Nice.
For your family.
For your family, not just you.
Not just you, your family.
Does the family still get it after you pass, if you pass?
I've never asked that question. It's a good question to ask.
I think that over here, it's not that the moment you pass, it stops. That's the thing about
probably,
it.
Probably, yes. Over here is probably the same thing.
Which is unfortunate, because if you put in 20 plus years and all of a sudden you pass, and then now you don't get any of that back and it just disappears, so to speak, right? But that's more of a government thing on our end here. No, there's lots of benefits, but I just see that a lot of guys still have to build, you know, sometimes they get into custom resi, right? Well, they'll get into low rise and work on those projects, but.
Well, if I like doing it because I build a couple houses a year for myself.
Yep.
I have my dad's old clients that I keep happy, you know, and that's it. I keep 10 guys with me, make them happy.
Just keep them busy. Everyone's
yeah. Keep working. Them busy with our regular clients. I build maybe one or two houses a year for me. I sell them, or I try to keep a couple income properties. You know,
how's America's political climate there? You guys are getting better or getting worse?
I don't know, man. I think this might get worse.
You think it might get worse?
I hope Trump changes everything around, but. You know, since he's been in office, the price of sheetrock's gone up 8%. Insulation's going up. It's starting to go up.
How was it before that? It wasn't all that happy-go-lucky either.
No, it wasn't. But it's not like COVID times, you know. I bought this house. I tried to rebuild it for $120,000. It cost me $220,000. $100,000 more than I expected.
Wow.
During COVID.
But everybody was price gouging right now. So right now, what I don't like what's going on up here, obviously you're aware that, you know, there's threats coming up to us from Trump regarding tariffs and things like that.
Yeah.
And all material stuff like that. What I don't like, because I've been discovering, is the construction suppliers here in Canada are already starting to spike up the cost of material. And I'm explaining,
and we're paying for it too.
But the thing is, I'm explaining to these people going, the tariffs are not in play. Nothing's happened. Nothing's passed. So why is material going up?
They're already implying the
but it's the supplier. It's the supplier and the manufacturer taking advantage of the industry by just charging more because they know that you need to buy it, which means that we're going to make an extra $100 off a spool of cable for an electrician. And that's not right, man. That's not fair.
No, not fair. Not fair.
You know what I mean? And then they'll spike it again if and when the tariffs come in. They'll spike it again and make more money. And I'm like, that's not fair for the end user. Which is
no,
the
construction because and then it deters people from spending money. Then we're not getting jobs.
It's a whole trickle, man.
Yeah, trickle effect. You know, it's hard right now to get employees because of this whole ICE situation. You know, a lot of the employees are illegal, or they have, you know, they're afraid they even come to work.
Because they'll get caught or something like that, and then
no, they've been raiding job sites.
They're coming to job sites and take really. Wow,
they haven't hit my job site, but they're going non-union. This is non-union. They're going to non-union job sites to raid job sites.
Wow,
you know, it's a shame.
And all they're doing is trying to work. That's all they're trying to do.
They're trying to support their families. Now, if they're criminals or not, I don't know. But
that's a different story. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, you know, they're workers. They're working, trying to support their family or pay their bills.
I wish we would just have less government across the whole entire globe.
Of course.
Just make it simpler back in the old days and just a lot simpler, right?
That's right.
Let the people have a little bit of a say. And what happens instead of being told what to do.
Yeah. What do you see happening in the next 5 years?
I think we're going to have a really bad 2025. I'm speaking on Canada's side. I think we're going to, economically speaking, we're going to have a bad 2025, and I think it's going to be worse in 2026, and I don't think it's going to start to turn around until 2027. That's what I think is going to happen.
Housing crisis and all.
I think that clients are, the only people that are going to be hiring construction are people that are well off and they have the means to do it financially speaking. Everybody that's been on the fence, whether or not they can or can't do it, they're going to say, nope, we're not doing it. These are people that are renewing mortgages. These are people that have overextended themselves. These people, they're all going to, and that's the majority. I would say 85% of the population, they're going to say, we're going to hold off. We're going to hold off until we figure out who's running this country, because we don't have a leader right now. You know, it's on pause. Our government's on pause because they're being investigated in. That's all it is, right?
And corruption.
That's all it is, right? So it's like they pause government because they're being investigated. So they're hoping that the people will forget that they're being investigated, which is a shitstorm, right? So it just doesn't make any sense. So I just know that clients are not going to take the risk. So I don't see it turning around. I just assumed in the U.S. that things were going to get a little bit better because he was trying to do what he was doing. But you're right about the ICE thing and also about other things going on. And the cost of material, it's going to go up. Everything's going to go up.
Everything's going up.
Stop being chained to your construction company. That's what Revelate delivers to contractors like you who are trying to figure out AI and automations. I hear it all the time with guys I talk to, and it sounds like they spend way more time on things that waste money. Here's how Revelate does it. They study your business. They build custom AI software and automation tech to fit your process. They train you and your staff so you can save 50% of your time on the stuff that slows you and your projects down. You got into the trades to build things, not to be buried under endless admin work and broken systems. I know every day feels like you're solving the same problems instead of moving forward. That's why Revelate was created. They grew up in the construction industry and have been a part of it for more than 15 years. They know the grind and they work to fix it. Within weeks, you and your team and your business are saving half of your time on the stuff that keeps you from getting home and enjoying life. No more nights buried in the paperwork, just more time building and living. Stop being stuck in chaos. Let Revelate help you build something better. Book a demo. It's an easy chat and it's free. Book time now. www.revelate.com or on IG at revelate.inc or call them at 416-474-5755. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Well, I can't believe I've gotten so many calls on this video.
Aren't they just texting you, asking you questions, or they want to talk to you?
No, my father, he's calling me. Everybody's just deciding to, let me go call Jeff today.
That's what they're doing, eh?
All right, now I know the button, so.
Awesome, perfect. So what else you want? Right, I want to know more about your neck of the woods and I like the idea of talking about autonomous and machinery. I could see dump trucks and cranes. And speaking of which, does the traffic cops, do they tag machinery, excavators?
No, they don't really mess with them. They can't just put a boot on it. There and weigh trucks. I know the DOT just sits there with a scale weighing trucks.
That's what they do?
Yeah, they wait for you to come by with a heavy load and then whack you with a big ass fine.
Oh, man. But they don't have any boots for dump trucks, do they?
Nah. Oh, you want to hear a good story about me? So one day they booted my car or my truck, and I went and I ripped it off with a, a pickaxe.
Yeah.
Un picarete.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a pick, and I fucking prowled the thing off.
It came off right away?
Oh, it took me a little bit, but I prowled it off.
Okay, all right.
I paid $1,500 for that one because I brought it back. I brought it back to the station and I told the guy, here you go. And they charged me for a whole new one. They said I damaged it, which I didn't.
Why did you have to? Because they tagged you already. That's why.
Well, I literally parked my truck in front of my house while I'm building a house in Jersey City. I parked the truck in front of the house, went inside. By the time I came out, I had a boot on the car.
Man, these guys are fast.
Fast isn't the word.
How do they know? They can't be everywhere.
They for a little bit, I thought they might have been following me.
They could at
Yeah,
least. They
so
could.
I get charged with a boot. It's well, it's
$1,500.
$1,500. And then they said that it's police property. It's vandalism.
So what does that mean? Another fine on top of that?
Another fine on top of that.
On top of the $1,500.
On top of the $1,500.
Plus the original parking ticket fine.
Parking ticket fine.
What's the amount of the parking ticket fine? Just $100 or something?
It was like $65.
$65 turns into $2,000 plus.
$2,000 plus. Yeah.
It's done by design, bro.
Oh, they set you up for failure.
That's just funny. I was just thinking if they started tagging machinery, if they couldn't do that, you couldn't tow that. You wouldn't be able to tow a dump truck. You wouldn't be able to tow an excavator. You can't tow any of that shit.
No, I've seen them tow trucks.
Dump trucks?
Overweight trucks that aren't allowed to leave. They've towed them before. They have a big ass tow truck.
And they can pull it, even with the load on it.
Yeah, I guess. They when they set up a scale station, they have their own tow truck and everything.
Waiting for it.
Waiting. And they know where they get them, you know, coming out of a quarry or on the highway, you see them.
I know, but then let's go politician-wise and people that are making all these rules up, because if you just shut down construction and nothing's going on, how would that city be running?
It wouldn't.
It'd be the apocalypse, right? Like that city would just fall apart if you didn't have construction going on every street or every moment that is getting a chance to do any kind of work. You want to keep fighting them, but I guess they keep on just jabbing at you with these fines, right? And then you guys just factor it in.
Yeah. I had a garbage business, a garbage license, right? I had to give that up because I couldn't keep up with the fines.
You were getting fines for what?
From taking garbage from one job site to another is illegal. You can't do that.
Why not?
You can't mix garbage from one county to another county. You can't do that.
How did they find out?
Oh, they know. They take pictures of your dumpsters on jobs, and then they follow the garbage. It's crazy. They have cops dedicated just for that.
Yeah, I remember a few guys that I follow on that end, part of what you guys are in, and I'm seeing them how they can't park certain bins in certain locations. You got to use small bins, like laundry tub size bins, and you got to move all the debris that way. And I'm like, holy cow, man, that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, are you just, I guess you just charge it to the client. At the end of the day, you're just charging to the client.
And then the people are wondering why the construction costs so much.
I know a guy who had a winter house in Palm Springs, and he always complained about the rates of that the trades were charging him, and he was getting charges like $100 an hour to lay tile, and he couldn't understand why he was being charged so much. And I'm like, do you want good quality work or you want crappy work? It's just you're living in a $10 million penthouse in Palm Springs here, and now you expect to pay $10 in a square foot to install tile.
Yeah, right.
And the person's got to get up there. There's all these rules that are associated with him running the business. Yeah, it's going to cost you $100 when it's all said and done. Why do you complain? Just get it done. Did you get it done? He paid it. Reluctantly, he paid it, but he got the job done. But I mean, like, that's how it works, man.
Customer pays. Got to, unless you don't want the job done.
Simple as that. Construction 50 years from now is going to be interesting. I don't know what it's going to be like.
It is going to be interesting.
I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be fully automated. I don't know if it's going to be... I don't see Gen Z. I don't see this young generation. I don't see the bulk of them getting into construction. I don't know how that's going to work because they don't want to do it to begin with. Like most of us that got into construction, this generation and even the one after us, they got in because they wanted to do it. They love it. They see the... When they build something and they turn their back at the end of the day and they look at what they built, they have that pride attached to it, right?
Of course.
This generation doesn't look at it that way.
It was what I take pride in all the projects I was affiliated with.
Yeah. But today's generation don't do that. They look at what they're being paid and they still being paid next to nothing.
Yeah.
Are you guys in the same boat where I always said that everybody that gets into construction, they always want more... They want to be paid more than their age.
Yeah, of course.
You're back to vertical now.
Gotcha.
There you go. Yeah, they want to be paid more than their age.
Of course.
Were you ever when you got started, Jeff, were you ever paid more than your age when you got started?
Hell no.
Were you even paid?
I wasn't paid. I don't think I was paid. Well, working for my father, I don't think I was paid for the first 5 years.
That's how it works. He told me,
you live in my house. I worked for him. He gave me a car, gave me some walk around money, and that was it.
You're being paid. You just don't realize you're being paid.
Yeah, well, the knowledge.
That's exactly it. And then you can start your own. Yeah, exactly. And you can start your own business and make your own money.
That's what it was, that he paid me in different ways that I realize now, you know. You know, I told him construction's changing, you know, he still writes out hand bills. And I said, you got to give that up.
No, that's done. You can't do that. I mean, that's.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah, I'm all about the new age right now.
What kind of
new? You know, he's shortly sold me the business, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to walk
gets handed down.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I want him to retire, you know. I don't want him to croak dead on the site. You know, go enjoy the rest of your life. Go plant potatoes in Portugal.
Grow something.
Go. He's an entrepreneur. Let me tell you, that guy for fourth grade education.
He got far. Man. He got far, man.
He's my idol, man.
Yeah, that's nice to hear.
You know, he built his company. I've seen the man lose three fortunes and get it all back. You know, I've seen him smuggle illegal Portuguese friends of his from Mexico to America to start his construction company here.
Because he knew he needed those workers. That's why.
You believe that? How did he know? Like, let me bring all my friends from Portugal and the 80s. You know, I was a kid. And he would bring them across the border. And boom, started. He had 100 guys.
Wow.
Yeah, at one point he was the biggest one around.
Can't do it today, though. You can't run the business the same way today.
No, and then he branched off and bought a bakery, and he's diversified.
He was in there baking himself? He was making the popsicles himself, everything?
No, I remember times that he would go lay block and brick and then not go home, shower, and go deliver bread.
No, really?
Yeah.
Was he doing that dish as well?
Yeah.
He was doing everything?
Everything. The man was amazing.
What was the name of the bakery?
Pombal Bakery.
It's not around anymore? No?
Yeah, it's still around.
Still around. Oh, wow. That's good to hear.
It's in Connecticut.
Nice. That's good to hear, man. What else do you want to share there, Jeff, before I get to the 12 questions to ask you, man?
No, that's about it, buddy.
No, you're a busy guy on a Saturday morning. Everyone's trying to reach you, so I don't want to keep you much longer.
Over here from my father. He just showed up.
Who's off mic? Who's off camera there trying to get your attention?
My father just showed up.
Oh, so he's like got tired of calling, and he's like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah, he just showed up.
Does he want to make an appearance?
Nah, he's good. Yeah, he's good.
Já leste pela Iberaveta?
Yeah.
Jeff, let me ask these questions and then you can take off, man. You ready?
Go right ahead.
A person you would trade places with for a day.
Place what?
A person I would trade places with for a day.
For a day. Nobody can come to mind? Not the person standing right behind the camera there?
Probably. I'll go pick my dad.
Yeah. Guilty pleasure. What's your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. Cars.
Okay. Anyone in particular?
What, my cars?
No. Yeah. Which is there a particular one that stands out?
BMW.
Okay.
Definitely.
What's your least favorite tool?
Jackhammer.
Still got nightmares, eh?
Yeah, still got nightmares.
Biggest risk you ever took?
Gambling everything on real estate and losing.
That's the lessons, man.
Yeah.
Best compliment you ever got?
I got a great heart.
What's your favorite beverage?
It used to be 1920.
Used to be?
Used to be.
1920 is good, man.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty good.
What never fails to make you laugh?
Comedy.
Worst piece of advice you ever got?
Worst piece of advice I ever got. Get married.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
The car business.
What's your favorite curse word?
Carajo.
What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
The BMW.
Which model?
M3.
You're a 3? M3?
Wait. M3 or M5.
Hang on. What year are we talking about here? Nothing new, is it?
Okay, M3 would be the first gen, the 2001 M3. M3 and the 2001 M5.
Yeah. When they redesigned everything. When they started shaping it right. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Oh, man. Jashigasht.
Jeff, thank you so much, man. I know you're busy. I really appreciate you jumping on, man. I've enjoyed our banter back and forth on DMs and all kinds of shit that's going on in the world, in the construction world.
Yeah,
right?
We continue this.
Yeah, for sure we will. Totally, man. This has been a pleasure. Thank you so much, man. Say hi to the old man for me, and then keep doing the work that you're doing, the hard work that you're doing. Don't get into trouble. No more trouble. You're too old to get into trouble these days.
No more. Those days are over.
You can't do any more.